It is now 10:08, as you can hear me singing a little bit. I just love this song. Welcome back, everyone. Of course, the Mom and Michael Hour is not happening tonight. My son is on a little bit of a hiatus today. And I am excited to have Jonathan with me to talk a little bit because, you know what, I've been bugging him, I would say, over the last 6 months. And I know he's feeling it. He does. I'm sure he doesn't think about it. He doesn't want to think about it.
By the way, before you go on hiatus, please.
When
hiatus. Look for those shiny silver shoes. You can see them from the moon.
Amen. He does have his shininess. He sent me a picture of a silver. It looks like it's rubber, but it's not. It's a silver tuxedo. And the pants were so terrible. One leg on the pants was up too high and the other one was down too low. It was just terribly made. They showed the picture from behind. Do you know how much just the jacket was? $2,400.
$2,400. Whoa, wait. First of all, so you're saying he never got this tailored?
No. He wouldn't buy that. Michael's not going to buy something for
$2,400. He's saying off the rack it was just that bad.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he said, he sent it to me. He goes, Mom, he said, look at this jacket. I said, yeah, look at how awful it is. I mean, it's just, it's built terribly. I don't know how they did that, but it was built terribly. But that's just my assessment on it. Okay. So here, Jonathan, I know I didn't tell you this, but I'm going to talk tonight to you a little bit about sports. Now, as you know, I've been trying to learn, right? Right?
Yes, you have, yes.
I really have. So I read tonight that the playoff, the football, the college football playoff is to expand to 12 teams by 2026, I believe. But some people are saying 2024. What do you know about this?
So this was announced this week, and there had been talks earlier in the year. This has probably been about a year and a half long discussion. Because for years and years, college football did not decide their national champion. And this is just at the highest level of college football. Okay. They did not decide their champion the same way other sports or other divisions in their own sport did. So, okay, you open the box. The deep dive is coming. Okay, here we go.
Uh-oh. Go.
So college football has, on the NCAA side, has technically four divisions. Okay. It has Division I, which the FBS, so the Football Bowl Subdivision. Those are the highest tier of college football. That includes the University of Minnesota, the University of Wisconsin, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, those schools are included in this tier of college football.
Okay.
Then you have your Division I football championship subdivision teams, that tier. That includes North Dakota State, South Dakota State, all these other upper Midwest schools that are Division I but aren't the biggest, you know, they don't have the biggest enrollments, they don't have the money to be up at that Division I, that football bowl level.
Right.
Then you have Division II and Division III. Division II, Division III, and the Football Championship Series all have tournaments. They all have 16, 24, 32-team tournaments to decide a champion. They have a postseason.
Okay.
For years and years and years, the highest tier of college football did not have a tournament. You had these bowl games, the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Sugar Bowl. You had these bowl games that were basically kind of exhibitions.
Are they still doing those?
No, they got away from it in the mid-1990s because what would happen is you'd have a team that was highly ranked, let's say, win the Rose Bowl, and a team that was highly ranked win the Orange Bowl.
Right.
And they left it up to pollsters. They left it up to the people that vote in these polls, these ranking polls, to decide who the best team was. So you had years where you had two teams claiming a national championship.
Very cool. Okay. So I have to say, though, by the Orange Bowl, where does that happen?
The Orange Bowl is in Miami. The Rose Bowl is in Pasadena, California, just outside Los Angeles.
Yeah. But there's one in Texas that my family sang at, the Steel sang at. I wasn't able to go. I was
the one that's the one that has been the longest running in Texas is the Cotton Bowl. That's in Dallas.
Cotton Bowl. That's it. Yep. Yep, that's it. They sang at that one.
Yep. Cotton Bowl's in Dallas. Sugar Bowl is in New Orleans. The Fiesta Bowl is in the Phoenix area.
Oh, okay.
So in the mid-90s, what?
Okay.
Goodness. So in the mid-90s, what the powers that be did is said, okay, we're going to have computers. We're going to take the human element out of seeing these teams. We're going to have computers rank these teams, decide which ones are one and two, and then have them face off in a championship game. So they did that for about 20 years. But there were still times when they still had polls up, so they still had people that were voting other teams number one, and you still have split champions. Finally, about 5 years ago, they decided we're going to do a tournament. We're going to have the top four teams. They're going to be ranked. They're going to be put into a bracket, 1 versus 4, 3 versus 2, winners meet, and there's your champion.
Right.
So and now they've...
So in, I mean, that was like the thing you loved.
Yes. The most identifiable thing, in my opinion, in all of sports, people might talk about the green jacket from the Masters. People might talk about the crystal that you get at, or the plate that you get at Wimbledon for winning the Wimbledon tennis tournament. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some people may say it's the Stanley Cup.
Right.
For me, it's the NCAA tournament bracket. 64 teams, one game to win it, one shot to win it. You lose, you're out. That's it. That's your bracket.
It's like I never get to talk to my brothers during that time. It's just
there's good
even
reason.
Even my sister, same thing with my
there's
my
basketball.
My sister Javita, she is. Oh my gosh, they are in it.
There's three words that describe. I won't say every man. I'll say maybe 70% of men, 35-40% of women, I'd say. I'd give it a good percentage. There's three words that describe it during that time. There's basketball on.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah. What they've done is the last few years they've done this four-team tournament. Now they're seeing, okay, there's a lot of money in this. And even though
they've always known that. Come on.
Well, the thought may have always been there. But the top tier of college football has always been so invested in these bowl games that usually take place between the middle of December and the first week of January. They've been so invested, it has been so tough to break them away from these games. And so now, when they see this playoff working, when they can travel to different cities to host the championship game, they know how much money is going to come in. And like you said, like you're saying, money can change everything. And by the way, speaking of college football, something amazing just happened. I cannot believe this just happened. I'll tell you about it in a second. Okay. So what they decided this week, the powers that be that run this college football playoff, they decided to expand the tournament. And some people thought, well, if you're going to expand it, you're going to do a small amount. You're going to go either from 4 to 6 or from 4 to 8. But they decided, no, 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 we're going to blow this out. We're going to go to 12.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay, there you go.
So what this does is in the hierarchy of college football in this top division, there are 10 conferences. There are the Power Five, which are the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the SEC, and the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference. And then there's the Group of Five, which is the Mid-Atlantic, I'm sorry, not Mid-Atlantic, Mid-American, the MAC, the Mountain West, the Sun Belt, the Conference USA, and, oh, why is it escaping me now? The Sun Belt, oh my gosh, why can't I think of it?
Because you overdosed, locked. Darling. You just overdosed on the whole subject.
It's the Mountain West, the MAC.
Oh, no.
There's one other conference I'm forgetting. The American. the American Athletic Conference. I faked myself out. I thought it was, and I thought it wasn't. No, it is. That's the other one.
Okay.
So with four teams, you have five of these big conferences. And again, these are big conferences that cover the entire country. And this is where your Minnesotas are located, your Michigans, your Ohio States, your Alabamas, your Texases, your UCLA and USC and Stanford and Clemson and Duke and North Carolina. All these big teams are located. Well, you only got four spots. So not everyone is going to be represented. And there were big time conferences that were left out of this process each year. So now expanding it to 12, you can get a representative from all the big conferences, usually multiple representatives, and maybe get the thing that we love about the basketball tournament. You can possibly get a Cinderella. You can get one of these better teams from a smaller school, quote-unquote, that could maybe wrench everything up.
Okay, so we have to take a break. And when we come back, I want you to tell me about fantasy sports. That's what we're going to attack next. It is now 10:24 here at WCCO. Welcome back. Oh, my goodness. We are talking sports in this hour that we usually call the Mom and Michael Hour. My son couldn't be on tonight, but we will definitely have him next week, God willing. And, of course, we are talking about sports, fantasy sports, and that sort of thing with Jonathan Lowe. This is his passion. Go.
I don't know where to start. You got to give me some sort of guide.
Okay, here we go. Okay, let's talk about Steph Curry. Of course, he went back to school and finished his degree. I cannot tell you, I was just overwhelmed with joy. Anytime any of the sports players, any of them that didn't finish their degree, go back and get it, or maybe they're going to get a bigger degree or, you know, more like a master's or a PhD. Remember when Shaq got his PhD? I cried. Because in sports, for many decades, years before, that's not something you were asked to do. They didn't encourage you to do that. But now, many of them have encouraged others to do it, and that's a big deal. So what did you feel about it when you heard about him getting his bachelor's degree? He finished it.
It was awesome. I forgot that he left Davidson College, which is where he went to college, which the university he went to. I forgot. You forget sometimes that he left as a junior. And so after his junior season, he declared for the NBA draft. I know that is a sore subject here in the Twin Cities because the Wolves passed on him not once but twice in that draft.
So, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. They had two picks in the top seven. I believe they had pick number five and pick number six. Pick number five, they picked Ricky Rubio. Who did good things here in Minnesota. Pick number six, they did not select a guy that did well here. And pick number seven, Golden State selected Steph Curry. So that is a sore subject here in the Twin Cities.
Okay, his father, Dale Curry, he spent 16 seasons in the NBA.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he was one of – since I don't have a team from – since there wasn't a team from my hometown that I could – sort of rally around and root for when I was growing up. The Kings, who are now in Sacramento, were in Kansas City and Omaha for a period of about 8 to 10 years, but they left when I was really young, so I didn't really get to know them. So I've sort of floated on teams that I've liked throughout the years. And one of the teams that people don't talk about as much, but it's kind of one of those cult favorite type of teams, involved Steph Curry's dad, Del Curry. He was on a team in Charlotte, the Charlotte Hornets, back in the mid-90s with guys like Alonzo Mourning and Muggsy Bogues and Larry Johnson, and I loved those teams. Those teams were great. And so I've always had an affinity for not just Del Curry, but when I heard about his son coming up, and going to college, because I watched him when he was at Davidson. When I heard about Steph Curry, I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, Del Curry's son, this is awesome. And then I watched him play, and I was like, wow. It's a wow for me. But him going back and getting his degree is just great. It's
just a big deal.
You hear about, like you said, Shaquille O'Neal did that. I believe Vince Carter did that.
Many have done it. Yeah,
many people have done it. And it's just one of those things where people got out of the business of staying in school for 4 years. In the mid to late 90s, people started coming out earlier and earlier and earlier on average. Mm-hmm. But in the 70s and the 80s, you had a lot of guys that stayed all 4 years, and you got to know them all 4 years in college, and they earned their degrees. And now we're getting back to the point where, okay, basketball is finite. Sports are usually finite. Really, the only one that you can play on a somewhat professional level, at least into your upper ages, is probably golf. And right. So you got to make sure that you can reassure yourself with other things down the line. And so the fact that, you know, these basketball players are going back and finishing their degrees, getting that diploma, it's awesome. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you were just talking about you have an affinity for, you know, some of the things we were talking about. You want to know what I have an affinity for basketball? Okay, the 1970s outfits they wore.
I was going to say the short shorts. I knew you were going to the short shorts.
I got a song going on in my head right now. Short shorts, yeah. I mean, whoa.
I knew you were going to
the short shorts.
And
my mother did not know I was looking at that game and looking at those shorts, but man, was I looking at those shorts.
You can understand when you look down at the shag carpeting and there's a little puddle of drool that's underneath you.
There's
your
no
feet.
Puddle of drool. Don't
it's
you
by
even,
your feet.
Ah,
it's
please.
By your feet.
You don't know.
It
me.
Just
uh-uh.
it just missed mm-mm. clipping your sneakers.
No, I don't wear
your
sneakers.
House shoes. But it was on the shag carpeting.
Okay. Whatever you say, dude. Okay, before we have to take a break. Can you tell me what seed is when it comes to the NCAA? What does seed mean?
Seeding is just ranking. So,
oh, it's just ranking? Why can't
yeah.
they say rank?
Because it's another way to explain
can't
it.
What? Can't you say rank?
You can, but they say you have seed lines. You have, I guess maybe I'm trying to think of why they. I've never really thought about that, why they determine a seed. I'll have to look that up.
Look that up and let me know, because I do not understand it. Okay, we got to take a break, and we'll come back in just a minute. Welcome back, everyone. It is now 10:36 right here on the Mom and Michael Hour. Unfortunately, my son is not able to join us tonight, but Jonathan and I am having like a sports session. As you guys know, I've been trying to learn more. And
sit down
I'm
on the couch. The therapist is in.
The therapist? I need a therapist just to learn this stuff. Oh, my God.
If you're becoming
away.
A sports fan, yes, you do.
I'm trying to become a sports fan, okay? I mean, I would love to sit here and talk about Sono Bello liposuction, but if that's not the thing you're interested in. And so here I am looking at football and basketball, and we talked about the Twins earlier. So I'm learning, and I need to learn. I do, so I really appreciate it.
You know, and this is the thing with sports. Sports is not for everybody. I have no issue with you as a person if you're not a sports fan. I don't try to force it on people. I might, you know, my eyes might bulge open and dilate and everything if you start talking about it. But I don't want to force it on people. That's not a good way to go.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about college football specifically, as I think we started out with college football.
Yes.
Is that right? I have it written down. Yeah, the playoff
yes.
to expand to 12 teams. And so as you see us going into the fall and then into the winter, when do you really sit down and say, okay, this is my time. This is my time to get completely entrenched in all things sports, especially football.
See,
do you ever get to that point? And then when does it happen?
See, it the problem with me is that it never ends. I am such a, again, and I've said this on your program. I've said this on many programs before. I am a sports dork. I follow basketball, baseball, football, a little bit of soccer. I'm trying to grow more with soccer. I don't know as much about hockey, but the hockey playoffs are insane. That, as I have said before, they are the best professional playoffs of all of them. The Stanley wow. Cup playoffs. They are okay. the best. You know, there are some things that I'll watch that I watch golf and play golf, and I never really break out of that mold or that mode. There are a couple of days out of the year where there's really nothing to be played, and usually it's around the middle of July when the baseball season takes a break. There's usually a couple of days in there where there are really no sports to talk about or very few. And that's kind of a downtime for me. But every other day, it's just, okay, we're good. We're okay. rolling.
So you are so entrenched in sports, which is great. You know, and so many men. I mean, my brothers, man, when it's their time to do the whole basketball, football, and, you know, and golf. My brother Fred, golf for real. Oh, my gosh. It's just wonderful to hear them laughing. You know, sometimes they'll come to mom's house, and I'll be sitting out here working and, oh, my gosh, it's wonderful to hear all of that joy come from them, or all the angst and how they get really ticked off when something didn't go right. And I'm just wondering, when you're at home, you know, do you call your friends, your brothers, you know, and say, hey, let's get together and watch the game? Or you guys go out somewhere to a sports bar? How does that work out for you?
So because my schedule has always been pretty weird overall, there have been times where I've gone out and I've hung out with friends, or when I'm back home, I've hung out with family and we've watched certain events, especially when I was younger. But I haven't done that as much these days. Usually what I'll do is if there's a, you know, most nights of the week or some nights of the week, I guess, I'll go out to one of the local establishments, the bars, and sit down and watch. And whether there are people there that I can talk with or people there that I know or not, I can engross myself in whatever game is going on. And so everyone is different. I don't necessarily need to have that conversation with someone nearby, but it's good to have it. It does enhance the experience.
Okay, so when the football players or basketball players or whomever, especially in college, realize that they are really not receiving as much as they should receive from their university, what do you say? How do you look at these guys specifically, these men who, you know, come to the college, they're excited about being there, they're excited to be chosen to be on the football team, but then they back off and just go, no, you know, the level of financial and compliance support players are receiving from the university, and it's up and down. I mean, there's no consistency with that. Should there be consistency with that, or it's all based on what school you go to?
This is where it really starts to get tricky, and this is what people have been clamoring for a long time, and what has been it's not a solution. It's not a permanent solution. It's not an overall solution. But it's a step in this thing called name, image, and likeness, NIL.
Right.
So this name, image, and likeness, what you can do is you can go – what people were complaining about before was you can pay all these coaches. They're basically employees of the state, especially at a private college. It's going to be a little bit different. But at a state college, like a University of Minnesota, all these coaches are state employees. And so – what people look at is the salaries of, and I don't want to throw him coaches under the bus, but mm-hmm. just because everybody knows him, P.J. Fleck. P.J. Fleck makes more than the governor.
Right.
P.J. Fleck makes more than the university president.
He's the coach, right?
He's the football coach.
Right. So
usually in most of these states, the head football coach at a state college, a major state-run university – right. is the highest paid employee. And so when you're talking about students, and I'd get into arguments about this with some people on this station about this, and some people believe that the ability to gain a scholarship and not have to pay to go to school, not have to pay room and board, not to have to pay for tuition, not have to pay for books and your three meals a day, that's enough. That's sufficient for you to give your all, give your body, give your youth to these schools.
Yeah, you know, I was just talking to Rohan Preston earlier tonight, and he had written a small bite about Gophers football coach PJ Fleck's vacation home. It listed at $2.5 million. Can you imagine the players at these colleges that find out the coaches are making so much money that they can buy a vacation home? A vacation home.
No, Gerald, I'm telling you this right now. They've known for decades.
I understand that, but I thought we were getting ahead of this. I thought we were really starting to deal with it.
No, it's going to get into a sticky place because there are some people out there that say that to pay these athletes mm-hmm. is to make them employees of the university. And to make them employees of the university, well, maybe they can unionize. And some people are saying, well, maybe the players, especially in football and men's basketball, maybe they need to unionize to make sure that they can get fair compensation for what they're doing, for what they are putting, again, their bodies through. Because let's say you are in college in a music program. You're trying to earn a bachelor's of arts in music or a bachelor of arts in drama. You can still go out and perform in plays or make music and make money. There are people that might have gone to school for X, Y, and Z, and they can go out either in their field or do side businesses and make money that way to cover costs.
It's called capitalism. I get it. But to know that the players are giving up so much, you know, they should be able to go ahead.
Well, it's and that's what I was trying to get to. So you're in a meteorology program. You're going for the degree I got, Bachelor of Science in Meteorology. You can go out and you can maybe do some other business or work for a living, work and go to school at the same time and make money. But at the same time, the only money that you're really bringing into the university is your own tuition, your own room and board, your own books. What these athletes are doing in the big time sports, especially, they're also bringing in the added revenue of 5 games a season, 6 games a season in football, 15 to 17 games a season in basketball, where you're bringing in money from not just the students, but all the fans, all the alums that come and pack these stadiums and arenas. So that's the added thing that people are looking at. You're making millions upon billions of dollars for the university, and you're not getting fair compensation for the work that you're doing to help the university. That's where people are that want the athletes to be paid are talking about this and have been talking about it for a long time.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with them being paid. I don't understand why that's even a big argument. I mean, the kind of money that the schools are making off of sports, they ought to sit there and go, absolutely, it's time for us to do that.
And again,
I don't understand it.
And again, this goes to the thinking of amateurism. And it's something that separates college sports from professional sports. When people look at professional sports, that's a job. That's a grown person with grown people problems, and they can control.
Welcome back, everyone. It is now 10:36 right here on the Mom and Michael Hour. Unfortunately, my son is not able to join us tonight, but Jonathan and I am having like a sports session. As you guys know, I've been trying to learn more. And
sit down
I'm
on the couch. The therapist is in.
The therapist? I need a therapist just to learn this stuff. Oh, my God.
If you're becoming a sports fan, yes, you do.
I'm trying to become a sports fan, okay? I mean, I would love to sit here and talk about Sonobello liposuction, but if that's not the thing you're interested in. And so here I am looking at football and basketball, and we talked about the Twins earlier. So I'm learning, and I need to learn. I do, so I really appreciate it.
You know, and this is the thing with sports. Sports is not for everybody. I have no issue with you as a person if you're not a sports fan. I don't try to force it on people. I might, you know, my eyes might bulge open and dilate and everything if you start talking about it. but I don't want to force it on people. That's not a good way to go.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about college football specifically, as I think we started out with college football.
Yes.
Is that right? I have it written down. Yeah, the playoff.
Yes.
To expand to 12 teams. And so as you see us going into the fall and then into the winter, when do you really sit down and say, okay, this is my time. This is my time to get completely entrenched in all things sports, especially football.
See,
do you ever get to that point? And then when does it happen?
See, it the problem with me is that it never ends. I am such a, again, and I've said this on your program, I've said this on many programs before, I am a sports dork. I follow basketball, baseball, football, a little bit of soccer. I'm trying to grow more with soccer. I don't know as much about hockey, but the hockey playoffs are insane. As I have said before, they are the best professional playoffs of all of them. The Stanley
Wow.
Cup playoffs. They are
Okay.
the best. You know, there are some things that I'll watch that I watch golf and play golf and I never really break out of that mold, or that mode. There are a couple of days out of the year where there's really nothing to be played, and usually it's around the middle of July when the baseball season takes a break. There's usually a couple of days in there where there are really no sports to talk about or very few, and that's kind of a downtime for me. But every other day, it's just okay. We're good. We're
okay.
Rolling.
So you are so entrenched in sports, which is great, you know, and so many men. I mean, my brothers, man, when it's their time to do the whole basketball, football, and, you know, and golf, my brother Fred, golf for real. Oh, my gosh. It's just wonderful to hear them laughing. You know, sometimes they'll come to mom's house and I'll be sitting out here working and, oh, my gosh, it's wonderful to hear all of that joy come from them or all the angst and how they get really ticked off when something didn't go right. And I'm just wondering, when you're at home, you know, do you call your friends, your brothers, you know, and say, hey, let's get together and watch the game? Or you guys go out somewhere to a sports bar? How does that work out for you?
So because my schedule has always been pretty weird overall, there have been times where I've gone out and I've hung out with friends, or when I'm back home, I've hung out with family and we've watched certain events, especially when I was younger. But I haven't done that as much these days. Usually what I'll do is if there's a, you know, most nights of the week or some nights of the week, I guess, I'll go out to one of the local establishments, the bars, and sit down and watch. And whether there are people there that I can talk with or people there that I know or not, I can engross myself in whatever game is going on. And so everyone is different. I don't necessarily need to have that conversation with someone nearby, but it's good to have it. It does enhance the experience.
Okay, so when the football players or basketball players or whomever, especially in college, realize that they are really not receiving as much as they should receive from their university, what do you say? How do you look at these guys, specifically these men who, you know, come to the college, they're excited about being there, they're excited to be chosen to be on the football team, but then they back off and just go, no, you know, the level of financial and compliance support players are receiving from the university, and it's up and down. I mean, there's no consistency with that. Should there be consistency with that, or it's all based on what school you go to?
This is where it really gets starts to get tricky. And this is what people have been clamoring for a long time, and what has been, it's not a solution. It's not a permanent solution. It's not an overall solution, but it's a step in this thing called name, image, and likeness, NIL.
Right.
So this name, image, and likeness, what you can do is you can go, what people were complaining about before was, you can pay all these coaches. They're basically employees of the state, especially at a private college, it's going to be a little bit different. But at a state college, like a University of Minnesota, all these coaches are state employees. And so what people look at is the salaries of, and I don't want to throw him coaches under the bus, but mm-hmm. just because everybody knows him, P.J. Fleck. P.J. Fleck makes more than the governor.
Right.
P.J. Fleck makes more than the university president.
He's the coach, right?
He's the football coach.
Right. So
usually in most of these states, the head football coach at a state college, a major state-run university, right, is the highest paid employee. And so when you're talking about students, and I'd get into arguments about this with some people on this station about this, and some people believe that the ability to gain a scholarship and not have to pay to go to school, not have to pay room and board, not to have to pay for tuition, not have to pay for books and your three meals a day, that's enough. That's sufficient for you to give your all, give your body, give your youth to these schools.
Yeah, you know, I was just talking to Rohan Preston earlier tonight, and he had written a small bite about Gophers football coach P.J. Fleck's vacation home. It listed at $2.5 million. Can you imagine the players at these colleges that find out the coaches are making so much money that they can buy a vacation home?
Gerald, I'm telling you this right now. They've known for decades.
I understand that, but I thought we were getting ahead of this. I thought we were really starting to deal with it.
No, it's going to get into a sticky place because there are some people out there that say that to pay these athletes mm-hmm. is to make them employees of the university. And to make them employees of the university, well, maybe they can unionize. And some people are saying, well, maybe the players, especially in football and men's basketball, maybe they need to unionize to make sure that they can get fair compensation for what they're doing, for what they are putting, again, their bodies through. Because let's say you are in college in a music program. You're trying to earn a bachelor's of arts in music or a bachelor of arts in drama. You can still go out and perform in plays or make music and make money. There are people that might have gone to school for X, Y, and Z, and they can go out either in their field or do side businesses and make money that way to cover costs.
It's called capitalism. I get it. But to know that the players are giving up so much, you know, they should be able to go ahead.
Well, it's and that's what I was trying to get to. So you're in a meteorology program. You're going for the degree I got, Bachelor of Science in Meteorology. Mm-hmm. You can go out and you can maybe do some other business or work for a living, work and go to school at the same time and make money. But at the same time, the only money that you're really bringing into the university is your own tuition, your own room and board, your own books. What these athletes are doing in the big time sports, especially, they're also bringing in the added revenue of 5 games a season, 6 games a season in football, 15 to 17 games a season in basketball, where you're bringing in money from not just the students, but all the fans, all the alums that come and pack these stadiums and arenas. So that's the added thing that people are looking at. You're making millions upon billions of dollars for the university, and you're not getting fair compensation for the work that you're doing to help the university. That's where people are that want the athletes to be paid are talking about this and have been talking about it for a long time.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with them being paid. I don't understand why that's even a big argument. I mean, the kind of money that the schools are making off of sports, they ought to sit there and go, absolutely, it's time for us to do that.
And again,
I don't understand it.
And again, this goes to the thinking of amateurism. And it's something that separates college sports from professional sports. When people look at professional sports, that's a job. That's a grown person with grown people problems, and they can control, they can have more control over their destinies than these college children, these college adults, young adults that come in and they're supposed to be all for alma mater and all for, doing stuff for the greater good of their school instead of give me a paycheck. You know, I need to get paid every 2 weeks.
Right.
And that's where the disconnect, the gap is between people that want.
There's no disconnect. Everybody understands exactly what's happening. It's just that they won't solve it. It should have been solved a while ago. I remember being on radio at WCCO so many years ago where, what was his name? Basketball player who went from high school straight to
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett, sweetheart, just a sweet man. And I remember how people called in on my show, and I was saying how I don't blame him for making that decision because we never know how long our bodies are going to, you know, hold up or any of that when you're playing sports. And so I was all for him to make that decision because he could make the decision and he could always go back if he stays, if his body holds up. And people were saying to me, oh, he has no right to walk away from his team. They really are depending on him, and that just shows that he doesn't have any. What did they say? I can't remember the word that was used.
Now, was this?
They really felt this was, it made them angry.
So you're saying this was when he got into the league, or was this right before he got traded from Minnesota to Boston? Because the reaction you're talking about sounds more like when he got traded than when he came into the league as an 18-year-old.
No, I'm talking about when he came into the league.
Okay.
At the university. He was at the University of Minnesota, right?
No, he never went to college.
Okay, then who was it that went to college at the University of Minnesota and then left early and went to go play sports, professional sports? Who was that?
Gosh, I'm trying to remember. Going back that far, I can't remember.
It was either basketball or football, but I can't remember. We have to look it up. But, of course, we are running out of time. But it's been fun trying to learn from you. I've been telling you for years, Jonathan, I need to learn about sports. And I'd love for my brothers to teach me, but, you know, when they are in their sports, I mean, when September rolls around or even August, you know, Gerland, you know, no, nobody sees me when it comes to the men of the family. Because I don't know enough. My sister Javita knows a whole lot about sports. My sister Janice, who lives in California, knows a whole lot about sports. But I'm the one that said, no, not my thing. Well, now I'm trying to get an understanding.
Oh, just keep nudging them. They'll turn around.
Oh, they will. They will. But I just want to say thank you to you for helping me out. I now know that seed is about ranking.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, just say ranking. Good Lord.
We got a break.
Oh, we got a break. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. It is now 10:55 here at WCCO as we wrap up tonight. My goodness, it's been really fun with you, Jonathan, and have had a great time with my guests tonight as well. So thank you so much. The Mom and Michael Hour will resume next Sunday. I'm looking forward to that.
By the way, I needed to play that song for myself. I need to calm down. I'm so talking about sports this whole hour. I'm so geeked up.
Yeah. I know who I'm talking to. Trust me. But thank you, Jonathan, for helping me understand some of this. And we'll have to do that again, maybe in a month or two or three or four. I really enjoyed it. So thank you for the support. Nobody called and said, tell Gerlin to shut up. That's great. But I am going to learn this stuff. I really am because I want to. I don't need to, but I really want to. Thank you guys for sticking and staying with us tonight. Now, I do want to mention that even though I didn't mention it in Center Stage, our 9 o'clock hour, my sister Javita and I are absolutely at the Dakota on September 10th. September 10th. So come on out to the Dakota. Just go to dakotacooks.com for information. You'll see us for September 10th, and we can't wait to sing for you. Take care, you guys. Jonathan, you be safe out there, okay? Be safe. Good night, everyone. It is now 10:55 here at WCCO as we wrap up tonight. My goodness, it's been really fun with you, Jonathan, and have had a great time with my guests tonight as well. So thank you so much. The Mom and Michael Hour will resume next Sunday. I'm looking forward to that.
By the way, I needed to play that song for myself. I need to calm down. I'm so talking about sports this whole hour. I'm so geeked up.
Yeah. I know who I'm talking to. Trust me. But thank you, Jonathan, for helping me understand some of this. And we'll have to do that again, maybe in a month or two or three or four. I really enjoyed it. So thank you for the support. Nobody called and said, tell Jolyn to shut up. That's great. But I am going to learn this stuff. I really am, because I want to. I don't need to, but I really want to. Thank you guys for sticking and staying with us tonight. Now, I do want to mention that even though I didn't mention it in Center Stage, our 9 o'clock hour, my sister Javita and I are absolutely at the Dakota on September 10th. September 10th. So come on out to the Dakota. Just go to dakotacooks.com for information. You'll see us for September 10th, and we can't wait to sing for you. Take care, you guys. Jonathan, you be safe out there, okay? Be safe. Good night, everyone.